I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. Thane Maynard talks with author Kristen Suzanne this morning about her book, Raw Awakening, Your Ultimate Guide to the Raw Food Diet.
Hi, Kristen. It's Thane Maynard from Cincinnati Zoo.
Hi, Thane. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for doing this. I'll tell you what, I like your new book that was out, or is out, with Chronicle Books, Raw Awakening.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm very excited about it.
And I know you've been at this a long time, both as a vegan chef, as well as part of the leading group of the whole raw food. Now, the trouble for somebody like me, since I'm unfamiliar with just eating raw, I probably represent the normal public. I mean, I obviously eat some raw things, like, you know, an apple, right, or something.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you do for carbs? Do you know? It sounds like no bread, no rice, no noodles. Aren't you hungry all the time?
Far from it, because actually what I do eat has a lot of fiber, and you can get calorie dense if you want with nuts and seeds and such. But for carbs, there's, you know, you could even take quinoa and sprout it and get carbs and protein there. But just fresh fruits and vegetables is an awesome carb source.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% raw. Sometimes I do 100% raw. I'll have a day here and there, or maybe at the beginning of the year, I like to go for a couple of months of all raw. But the bulk of my diet, I would say, is kind of high raw. So I might eat raw for breakfast and lunch and have a real high energy day. And at night, I might have something that's, you know, brown rice, veggies, sweet potato with like a big salad.
Okay. All right. Well, the whole darn thing sounds good. It really does. And I'm in the animal business, and not by any training, certainly a chef, but it is interesting that when you think of wild animals, of course, they all eat a healthy diet because they only eat what they can get and what they're supposed to get. But even animals that are in captivity in a zoo, or even pets, sometimes get overfed. Do you find when people switch their diet, whether it's to raw or to vegan, is it hard for them to find like a middle ground where they say, okay, I get it, here's how much I should be eating?
What actually I have found happens with clients is when they switch to a raw diet, I'll jump onto that part. You know, you can kind of eat as much as you want within reason. I mean, you know, we're not talking about 10 avocados a day.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, you know, it's kind of like getting over the hurdle mentally that you're switching to such a unique and different diet from what you've been grown up with and what you're used to. And so sometimes people find themselves wanting to eat a lot, and that's okay. They feel satiated that way. They still tend to lose weight. They still get good energy because of the way the food is processed in the body. But then they kind of find their happy medium. A lot of people start out with raw food, and they go gung-ho gourmet raw. You know, they'll make raw lasagna and raw pizza, and they'll do high fat and stuff like that, and they'll eat lots of raw desserts. But then it always comes back to swinging kind of the other side of raw, where you start eating really clean, and you just really enjoy green smoothies in the morning and a nice big salad, or maybe a raw soup for lunch, maybe some flax crackers. So I think people dive into it, and they go guns a-blazing, and they eat a lot, and then they do find a happy equilibrium.
And that certainly makes sense. And the idea, really all teasing aside, of people paying attention to what they eat, probably makes more sense than anything we do, because what we eat is very much like how you end up living the rest of your life. You can either think about it and have fun with it, or you can just keep on going and eat really the wrong thing. I know whenever I happen to see the TV, I crack up that all the ads that aren't about trucks and beer seem to be about food that's really bad for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you hardly ever see an ad for, say, fruits or vegetables. But people, I think, intuitively know, certainly parents know, that's what their kids ought to be eating, and we should, too. Now, in your book, you talked about things that sound very sort of carb-rich, like lasagna and pizza. How do you make a raw pizza?
Okay, so for a raw pizza, instead of making your traditional bread, you would make a – okay, so let me back up a second. When you go into the raw food diet, it's important to have the right expectations. You're not going to mimic, in many cases, the exact food.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to say like, oh, this is nice and warm and soft and doughy when I bite into this raw pizza. But it tastes really fresh and vibrant and alive, and it's bursting with flavor. So it's an amazing recipe and delicious, but it's not always an exact replica. So for the crust of the pizza, it's usually a dehydrated, thick type cracker. And you can play with the softness based on whether you use ground flax seeds. I mean, there's ways to tweak it. And then you put a raw marinara on it, which is really just blended tomatoes and herbs and, you know, some salt and garlic and flavoring. And then you put a raw cheese on it, which is made out of a nut base. So you blend up some cashews, maybe put some miso seasoning in it, lemon juice. And then you can sprinkle fresh herbs on it. And then whatever else toppings you want, maybe olives, mushrooms. That's what you would do for a pizza. Now, for a lasagna, the simple trick is taking out the regular noodles you would cook and replacing it with zucchini. So you take a vegetable peeler and you peel the zucchini into noodles or use a mandolin, and voila, you have a great noodle substitute.
And I know in your book, for a sort of a twist on that, you even said you can use kelp, which would be fun.
Oh, yes, definitely. Kelp noodles are a great substitute.
But you mentioned, are people missing the warmth? Even though it's raw, could you heat up, say, your cracker, your pizza, so you could eat it warm without actually overcooking it?
Definitely. You really can. So what you can do, like let's say you're going to have a raw soup. There's a couple of ways you can warm up your raw soup. You could either just keep blending it for a while because after, you know, after 1 to 2 minutes, your soup will get to a nice warm temperature. Or you can put it on the stove and heat it up on low heat. And so long as you can put your finger in the liquid without burning your finger, the nutrients are still intact. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing you can do is you can use a dehydrator. And that's a great piece of equipment in a raw food kitchen because you can heat up your raw lasagna, your raw pizza, your raw quiche, and it makes it warm, you know, without cooking it and making it hot. So it's a great way to have some raw food, especially if you live in a cold area.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, tell me how this works in the wintertime. Is it mostly from canned goods, either that someone self-canned, or exactly how? Because, you know, in the summer, you think you go outside, you go in the garden, you can buy fresh foods at farmers markets. But what if you're living in Minnesota in February?
Well, every grocery store has fresh produce, so it's just a matter of going probably to the same place unless you have farmers markets during the summer, and maybe you shop there in the summer, and or like you said, if you have your own garden. But otherwise, you just go to your grocery store, and you go to the produce aisle. You shop around the perimeter of the store where all the healthiest food is anyway, and that's how you get your veggies, and you go home, and you whip them up into something awesome.
That is great. I honestly, you make the whole thing sound terrific, and certainly the idea of people being conscious about what and how they eat. But a bit on kids. Do kids buy into this or do they say, oh, come on, we want to stop for a Happy Meal?
I guess it depends on what the history is with the kids. So there's the camp that you hide the veggies, and you can easily do that with some brilliant green smoothies where you take the name of the smoothie and you're like, okay, this is, you know, green monster smoothie, grr, you know, and you blend up some fruits and greens, and the fruits are nice and sweet, and they overcome the bitterness of the greens, so you can hide it, and you can make it fun with cool names and stuff. And then the other side is just being real honest with your kids and talking about the nutrition and the energy they'll have and how it's good for their brain, and then getting them involved. So get out some books and say, hey, what do you want to make today? Or take them to the grocery store and say, hey, you know, what looks interesting to you? Do you think you want some broccoli or do you want some blueberries? Or, you know, give them choices and kind of steer them and guide them in the right direction and just let them be a part of it.
So tell me about eating out. I know you live out in Arizona, here in the Midwest. Often when I think of, as I mentioned at the zoo, we talk about eat like an animal, right? So if what would an animal eat? And half the stuff you see in a restaurant you would not feed to your dog. It's got to be an unusual restaurant that is both vegan and raw out in Phoenix, Arizona, isn't it?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot. I mean, you know, on pretty much every menu you find salads. But who wants to always eat a salad every time you go out? You know, I mean, you would like some variety. And so it would be really great if more restaurants did adopt more plant-based recipes, even if they're cooked. I still think that's great and a step in the right direction. And it is happening. I just went to a restaurant the other day that I hadn't been to in about 4 years. They had an entire separate vegan menu.
There you go.
I was blown away. And I was like, wow, what a sign of the times. This is really cool. So what I do for other instances, though, or if I'm in the Midwest visiting family, because I have a lot of family in Michigan, and there's, like you said, there's not a lot of restaurants there that have vegan or raw-friendly foods, I call ahead. You know, I'll get online, and first I'll check out their menu, and I'll look at the different vegetables that are offered on the menu. So maybe one recipe has chopped up asparagus in it, and maybe another recipe has broccoli. So I'm like, okay, they have asparagus and broccoli. I know that they have that in-house. So I'll check out and see if I can kind of put something together with the different ingredients that they have, and then I call ahead and I say, look, I'm coming, you know, I have this, you know, these restrictions with what I eat. I saw you had this on your menu. Can you throw that together with some, you know, noodles in a saute pan? Or can you just put it, you know, freshly chopped on a plate with some, you know, lettuce? And then sometimes I bring my own dressing, or If you go to places like Mexican restaurants, well, salsa and guacamole are typically raw. So there are ways to kind of think about it and do it. You just got to take a few minutes to plan. And once you've done it a few times, it just becomes second nature and it's really easy.
Well, Kristen, this has been a lot of fun. It really has. I enjoy your book. I'll tell others about it as well.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Thane. It's been great.
You bet. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
My guest has been Kristen Suzanne, author of the new book, Raw Awakening. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.